And now it's time for The Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli,
who started it all in terms of jingles.
One, it is bad. And two, it is done with total confidence.
It may be bad, but it's back. This is The Grelly for September 13, 2018. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. If you are a first-time listener, I'm not sure what you're doing here. You probably should turn this off right now. Go find something better to do with yourself. But if you're a fan of the podcast or a longtime listener of The Grelly and our many, many episodes, welcome back. I'm thrilled to have you. Up front, I wanted to make a few announcements. The Kickstarter for Jingleside is over, thank God. The promotion of that is basically all I've been doing for the past 3 weeks, trying to get all that stuff going amidst a bunch of work stuff and other things that are going on here. So I've had very limited time. I'm glad that's over. Shilling for donations and swag and all that stuff is not pleasant. So I appreciate those of you who humored us through that period and helped us reach such lofty targets. We'll be back at Jam and Java next year, the same place that we hosted it in 2018. I'm super excited for that. The owner is thrilled to have us. The staff there loved us. The venue, I thought, was wonderful. The only downside is that it's in Vienna, Virginia, not in Rockville. There's a place called Amp by Strathmore, which is a couple of miles up the road from Chatter. I had actually hoped that we could do it there in 2019, but they, in addition to having a similar booking fee to Jam and Java, they also had very strict union rules around ticket sales, so it basically had to be an all-free event or an all-ticketed event through their union, plus there was a $4,000 food and drink minimum. So in order to go from Jam and Java to there, we would have had to get at least several thousand more dollars just for me to feel comfortable that I wasn't going to lose my ass going there. So unfortunately, that didn't work out, but you know, rather than going against the grain and fighting it and trying to raise more money, we have an awesome place that loves us. We're just going to go there. And then, you know, maybe in 2020, if we don't go to Nashville, you know, we can go to Bethesda or something. Several folks have asked about how we get back and forth from Chatter to and from Chatter on Saturday or Friday and all that, because Vienna to the Northwest DC, Bethesda, Rockville kind of corridor can be challenging with traffic at times. I'm not too worried about that. I really do hope that folks are able to go there and patronize the restaurants, but that's not something I'm really going to spend a lot of energy on in 2019. So maybe we can get some kind of grassroots bus or something else to do that, or carpooling, something like that, so folks can go there and enjoy it together. But renting a van like I did for the Jingle Tour costs somewhere like $800 to $1,000 for a couple of hours. So, you know, unless maybe we get a couple of U-Haul trucks and everybody just piles in like luggage and furniture, you know, we could do that. That would be pretty cheap. Also recklessly dangerous. And, you know, we risk killing half of the people that are attending, but it would make for a hell of a story. So if somebody wants to do that, I'm all for, you know, endorsing that on this podcast and helping to spread the word. So just let me know. So also, if you backed Kickstarter, I have sent out some surveys. I need your info, your address, what type of shirt you want, and all that stuff. If you support Little Songs on Patreon, which pays for the cost of this podcast, if you're listening to this podcast and happen to be a patron of the show for a dollar a month or so, you are also entitled to a shirt. So I sent out some messages. I've gotten about 50% replies so far from those of you that are doing that. Please respond now. Drop what you're doing. Pause this show. Go respond so that I make sure I get you your stuff and you're not left out with nothing. And then lastly, if for some reason you were not on social media or don't reply to my emails or have me blocked or something, if you would like just to get a t-shirt or something like that, you can go to littlesongs.net/store, and those are available to order right now so that I can include that in my bulk order when I order the 200 shirts or whatever to fulfill the Kickstarter orders.
Successful, that's more, so we had to record it.
That's right. If you want to be featured on the Grelly, your songs have to basically have been written by me or be just about me. So thank you to Rob Zolnicki and Steve Lipton for that wonderful jingle. I think it's thanks to Steve that I really kind of got back in the game here. I think he made a kind of sarcastic, I don't think it was a serious comment about when are we going to see new episodes of the Grelly, because I had put up a logo for this show about a year ago when I relaunched the website, littlesongs.net, where you can find all these wonderful tunes. I had put a logo there for the Burf Bag and the Grelly, and in the hopes that I would get into podcasting, time did not allow it. So after a few months of just that sitting there, I decided I'd just remove that logo. Apparently Steve saw that and asked me, hey, it's been a year. When are we going to get those episodes? So I said, you know what? I think it's time to rededicate myself to the cause of podcasting. So many people have asked about it. I love doing it. It's just hard to find the time. And, you know, it's basically and it's not a job. It's just a hobby that loses me money. But it's a lot of fun to do, and I'm thrilled that all of you listening are a part of it and have encouraged me to keep it going. So thank you, Steve and Robert, for that song. That also encourages me to keep this going, the fact that I'm getting original jingles submitted, you know, like the old podcast and now this ridiculous show. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Grelly.
This week, I wanted to talk about the Lowe's Read, which I think is an important milestone in the history of the Tony Kornheiser Show. If you remember, if you're a longtime listener, when Tony started doing the Window Nation ads, there was a bit of hesitance, and he was kind of embarrassed. And I remember him almost asking Wilbon for permission during some of their segments, saying, hey, I'm doing these ad reads now. Do you think that's okay? And it's kind of weird. I'm a journalist, but now I'm selling stuff. And if I remember correctly, Wilbon encouraged him that, oh no, of course, it's great. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And how far we have come. I mean, that there was a product that he insisted on not getting for free, that he paid for, albeit at a discount. He wanted to actually have used it in order to advocate for it. He wanted it to be something that he believed in. And now, as we slowly transition from Window Nation to Jim Coleman Cadillac, which he also used, to underwear companies and razor companies, even though he has a beard, and custom-made suits that he doesn't buy. Like, all these things have started to now snowball because it's necessary to be a pitchman in the podcast business, as I know from my long-running relationship with Horse Clips, that you just have to do ad reads sometimes. But they at least still kind of are maybe believable that they're just products. But the Lowe's Read, unlike the other ones, includes super disingenuous ad copy. Like, it's my go-to place and when I'm doing projects. And it's so specifically autobiographical that it's just... it's ridiculously stupid. And I'm glad that they can laugh about it to some degree. But at the same time, every time they do the read, like the first time I heard it, I almost drove off the road laughing. But it wasn't like laughing in a good way, I don't think. To me, it was just laughing like, how could you be doing this? This is so shamelessly stupid. Like, there's no way. And maybe the people at Lowe's, that's what they're going for. Let's find a guy that's never lifted a wrench in his life and have him sell wrenches. This will be hilarious. But I don't know how that's effective. I mean, maybe just through repeated use. And, you know, I'm not an ad guy. As I said, I mean, I do ads for Horse Clips and illegal seafood, things that, you know, are illegal and dangerous and stupid. So, I don't have any ground to stand on in this debate. But anyway, so there's three songs. I started riffing on this idea a week or two ago, and it took me a while to get to a place where I was happy with these things. And so I started with, coincidentally, or ironically, or whatever is the appropriate word here, the song I started with was the Spandau Ballet song True. And I thought that could be Tools. And I worked on it and thought about it and listened to it on several commutes, because that's typically my brainstorming process, is put a song on my 20-minute commute home and just play it on repeat and improvise along with it and try to come up with words that match the pattern, that sound like it, that and then I'll turn it off and sing to myself. Maybe I'll get out my phone and record it. Anyway, I did that with True, and nothing really clicked. I couldn't get anything, so I threw that in the garbage. And then my next idea was Friends in Low Places. And I started thinking of, all right, well, Tony talks when Lowe's pays him. That could work. And I started writing it. Once again, I just got nowhere with it. It just was going nowhere. It wasn't working. It wasn't funny. It just had bad rhymes. I didn't like it. So I stopped that. And then I started listening to Billy Joel. So that's always my go-to inspiration for music. You know, if I am stuck, there's got to be a Billy Joel song I've never touched. And I know every one of his songs by heart. I know every lyric. I can just try to think, all right, what is it that comes to mind when I think of Billy Joel and Tony sitting at Chatter pinching Lowe's? And this lyric came into my head. I'm eating eggs in a fancy part of town, because the opening lyric of Rosalinda's Eyes is I play knights in the Spanish part of town. And so that immediately clicked, like, ah, yes, I have the opening line. Now I just need to write the rest. All right, line two is going to be, okay, there's no line two. So that, again, another case of just writer's block or stuck. So I threw that in the trash. And also the idea that Rosalinda's Eyes, which is a song that I know, I'm sure like five of you listening have ever heard of it before, if that. Not a very big Billy Joel tune. So I went back to the Garth Brooks song, and I sat in my kitchen, and I recruited Michelle. I said, come down. I'm going to just riff on this. I need you to sit here and give me feedback and give me ideas and help me get this done, because I think this is the strongest song with the most recognition. People will like this. This is going to work. And I was sure this would air on the show. Although so far, and you know, this season I'm 0-for, so I don't think it ever will, but I was pretty confident this was going to make it within 24 hours. This would be on the show if I could get it right. And so I started on that idea of what I mentioned earlier, that Tony started doing ads, and then he slowly devolved into this shameless spiral, dropped all pretense that he cared about what product he was pitching, and just now started selling products. And then it culminated with this idea that he'll sell anything now. And so then that's the final joke of the song, is that he's gone so far. It started with Window Nation, and now he'll sell something he absolutely hates and fears, like cruise vacations. And so I'm thrilled with how this one turned out. I think it's the best of the lot. I want to start with that. And then we'll play Rosalinda's Eyes, which starts with, I'm eating eggs in a fancy part of town. Off to my left, Tony's pitching Lowe's. And then the last one is one that I just did tonight, because it was the first idea I had. I never got back to it, but I felt for this podcast, I had to do this one justice. So this is, we're going to hear Friends in Lowe's Places, Rosalinda's Eyes, and then my parody of the Spandau Ballet song, True, which then will kick off the next theme for this episode of The Grill. I still recall how we started it all, selling us windows and doors. He was sincere, or so it appeared, because they were products that he'd used before. Then he found something new, razors and suits, and slowly he dropped all pretense. I mean, who would imagine he loves gunmetal ratchets when he's never picked up a wrench? Now Tony talks when Lowe's pays him. It's supposedly his destination for craftsmen too. Do they think we're fools? He started small with Window Nation. Now I hear next week he's selling cruise vacations. Oh, Tony talks when Lowe's pays him. I'm eating eggs in the fancy part of town. Off to my left, Tony's pitching Lowe's. Hardly anyone believes a word he says. Tony laughs because he knows. Mr. Tony's pushing products with the promo code.
turnstiles of sponsors spinning round with every episode. Time for the chatter promotion. One more time with emotion. Karen serving bowling alley fries with Mr. Tony's lies. I roll out of bed and I stifle a yawn. It's Saturday, I'm gonna mow my lawn and trim my hedges one by one. Reseed the ground, loosen the soil. Reseed the ground. I catch up on podcasts while I work. Sans is on with Tony again. Time for a read. Tony's got some new lines. Wait, is this really an ad? Why is Tony selling tools? Why is Tony selling tools?
So that last song, True, the one that I was really stuck on, I finally was able to finish when I decided just to write about what I know. And what I know is how I listen to Tony's show. The majority of my time listening is either in the car on my drive to and from work or on Saturday and Sunday when I'm cutting the lawn or vacuuming or doing something around the house. So I don't have a lot of, I mean, maybe some of you guys sit around listening to podcasts while you're making dinner or sitting on the couch. Given my family situation with little kids running around everywhere, I need to have my attention on that. So the only time I really have to myself for that kind of stuff is when I'm out and about doing something or trapped in a confined space. So that was my little song about yard work, which ironically, maybe that's the kind of thing that, you know, I would want to buy some Lowe's products because I'm out in the yard doing stuff and I'm going to hear that Lowe's ad and say, ooh, I should go there and get some more grass seed. Maybe not some Craftsman tools, but maybe some grass seed. Anyway, I tried to go back through the archives of all the fabulous, wonderful, and amazing songs that I've put together over the years. And I came up with two of them that stuck out to me as autobiographical in the same vein as True. And so the first one is a parody of a Radiohead song called Black Star. And it was also an homage to the stupid email era of the short, how I get to work, what's your neighbor do, what'd you have for dinner type emails. And so it's a very specific recounting of what I would do. I mean, these are the exact directions to my house. So, you know, this is real. This is just me talking about driving home, listening to Tony's show. And then there's a delay prior to Nigel resetting the board to zero. There was Enzo who worked on the show and who was also always screwing up. There's always some scapegoat to blame when stuff goes wrong. I need to hire somebody for the Grelly just so I have something to fall back on, because otherwise all the bad things you hear on this are my fault. So that's not going to fly. Anyway, so Black Star we'll hear first, and then another song about driving to work was a parody of an Ed Sheeran song called Photograph. And Jason and I have talked about doing this one live at Jingle Fest now for the last 2 years. We just haven't done it. I have a hard time, and I need to figure out a way for Jingle Side, because I really want to have more live music. But what I've observed and felt is that the live songs at Jingle Fest just don't go over, because you can't see the lyrics behind the person. It's hard to hear what they're singing. So unless they're singing a song that you know by heart, you're not going to get it. And with the jingles, it's so important when you have a 45-second song or a minute and a half or whatever this one is, that the audience is able to understand the jokes and anticipate the jokes and be able to really get it in real time to appreciate it. Because, I mean, for some degree, I mean, maybe you're there for Joe Arrow singing well, or you're there for me taking my shirt off like a moron. But most likely, you're there for the jokes. And if you're not getting the jokes, then we're failing. Like, the performance is wrong. So anyway, if you have ideas on that, I welcome it. It's something we've struggled with since the inception of Jingle Fest. And anyway, this song may never hear live, but you get to hear it here. Photograph, also about my autobiographical experience. So enjoy these two tracks.
I turn onto Little River Turnpike, left on Duncan, then I ride and I'm home with you. Eat some chicken, put the girls to bed, watch a few shows, then I grab my phone. I think I'll podcast Tony's show. Wait, where's today? Episode, blame it all on Enzo. When iTunes updates are too slow, blame it on the sales weasels and the damn delay. Driving to work, traffic's the worst sometimes, 'cause Washington can't handle rain or snow. So I salute, I give the TK salute sometimes. I learned that trick from Mr. Tony's show. Tony can always make me laugh, and I love that he laughs at himself, starting with the open to the emails, faxes, notes, and the stupid songs that they play still. So Mr. Tony, tell us again about your blue jeans or your favorite steakhouse on 19th Street. Somehow it never gets old, listening on my way home.
And now, more of the Grelly.
DC Morning Drive Time had a big loss recently when Kippy Sheeman was fired from Sports Talk 980, or whatever it's called these days. But that's good news for us, because Kippy is now periodically on Tony's show. My favorite episode so far of the season was Kevin's return and him just being back and doing his riffs, because I don't think he prepares very much for it. He's just really great on the spot at just being that character. Kevin, really, I mean, other than Gary, who I've mentioned many times, has been the biggest advocate for me, the biggest supporter of this, and has really been the facilitator of all the good things that have happened between me and Tony's show, whereas everything else has just been kind of obstacles and weirdness. Gary's always been good about that. Kevin, on a personal level, has been one of my favorite people just to interact with. He's really genuinely a great, nice person in my interactions with him. And I remember visiting the studio when Kevin was doing a newscast and learning that there was a running joke about how Kevin always repeated stuff that was in the open or that was in old guy radio during his newscasts. And Tony and Nigel and Gary especially, would give him so much crap. Like, don't you listen to the show? I mean, how did you repeat that? And I thought that Kevin just was kind of oblivious or was doing something in the corner, wasn't paying attention. I really thought he was in the studio, just not listening. And it turns out that the reason that he always repeated stuff is that he wasn't even in the room and they recorded the show out of order and they would just bring him in. They would literally summon him. Somebody would run down the hall and say, Kevin, come in and do 5 minutes of news now. And he was in his little office down the corner prepping for his show with Tom Lavero or whatever else he was doing at the time. And so they would bring him in, and then they would give him crap, and he would totally play into it like he'd screwed up. And just, oh, yeah, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. And it was always so funny because I thought, wow, this Kevin guy is such a screw-up. This is awesome. And then seeing it in real life, like, oh, no, he's just playing this character, and he didn't do anything wrong at all. They just gave him – he's at a severe disadvantage because he has two jobs, and this is something he's just doing – sort of as a courtesy and also sort of as like a self-promotion thing, because it really helped raise his profile at the station being on Tony's show. And he's expressed that before, that that really was a gift to him being part of it. And he loved being part of the show. So I'm glad he can do it again. So anyway, this first song then, kind of on that same vein, is a parody of the REM song What's the Frequency, Kenneth, called Whatever Happened to Kenny. And so it's a tribute to Kevin leaving, but also to improv and what I think he's doing, because I'm a huge fan of improvisational comedy. A lot of the jingles that I do are when they're not these really drawn out, painful writing exercises. They're just improvised takes on some stupid idea. So in this first song, we pay homage to Kevin along with Del Close and the Second City and some other, you know, improv callouts. And then the next one is a parody of the Imagine Dragons' Demons. I wanted to have this one in here because I like it, but also I really like the reference to Game of Thrones in here. Kevin always mentioned that Beatrice was one of his weather watchers, one of the recurrent lines in Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, is his watch is done. So the idea that when Beatrice died, her watch is done, when Kevin died, his watch is done, I wanted to integrate that into the song. The next, a parody of the Billy Joel song Temptation with a huge assist from John Neiswinger, who is just such a talent, such a loss for the jingle community that he's not very active anymore. Anytime you needed something that Billy Joel or Elton John or somebody else had done, John could turn it around in like 5 minutes because he's just really talented. And anyway, this one includes two things that really stand out to me. One is the reference to precip and how Kevin uses these pretentious weather words to seem like a weather wonk and just to be a douchebag. And then also the idea that Kevin, from my recollection, would do the weather as kind of a joke and nobody took it seriously, but he played up Tony's fear, and there was a huge blizzard or something in DC that Kevin had predicted correctly. But I think he was only doing it, I don't know how much he was into the models, just to play up Tony's paranoia. And then he happened to be right. And so there was a big thing going on for months about how all the DC weather guys and Chuck Bell and whoever else was there at the time, all those guys, they got it wrong, but Kevin Sheehan got it right. And Wilbon would give Tony so much crap about what's your boy Sheehan got to say, because Tony would swear by it, like, oh, Kevin was so right. And he happened to be, but obviously, you know, we know now it was all just a con and a joke. And then lastly, The Urge for Going, a parody of a Joni Mitchell song about how Kevin is always somebody you can count on to tell you the weather, what it will be like 5 months from now, this long-term forecasting that is totally, totally fake and makes no sense, along with an homage to the hashtag of I Ride With Sheehan. So here are four songs celebrating the return of one of my favorite characters on Tony's show, Kevin Sheehan. I wish him so much success with his new podcast. Check out the Kevin Sheehan Show and support that. He's just a great guy. I'm thrilled he's there. I gotta make it up into that slog to Northwest DC to listen to a taping of Kevin's show sometime, because I'm sure it would be great. And there's probably nobody in that place at 10:30, so it'd be good to help build a crowd for Kevin sometime. So here's some songs for Kip, Kevin, Kenny, whatever you want to call them.
Whatever happened to Kenny? Did he leave the show? Oh, no. I made vacation plans based on his winter weather. Newscasts were straight out of Del Close's dreams, improvising every word like the Second City. I'll never understand why they fired Ken. Oh, those shipwrecks or some crystal meth is killing folks who will laugh at death. I wanna hear the news and fake weather too for 2015, just 2015. But Sheeman called it quits, and just like Beatrice, Kippy's watch is done. Yes, his watch is done. So we start again with a pro named Lynn, 'cause Kippy Sheeman died. Kippy Sheeman died. Who will critique the news when it's read by night? Since Kippy Sheeman died, Kippy Sheeman died. We shouldn't humor him, even Wilbon said so. But 4 or 5 years ago, he was right about the snow. I should be listening to his colleagues instead. Kevin uses silly jargon and it's gone to his head. You know, his prognostication, noncommittal and hazy. His long explanations, just what is he trying to say? Think that he said it might rain today, but precip isn't even a word, it's precipitation. Oh, yes it is. You sound like an asshole. Oh, don't use that word, don't use that word. It makes you sound like an asshole. I woke up today and found no snow on the ground, and you know Kevin told us all we'd see how it played out. And Monday morning he's always right about the precip that we had last Thursday night. When I get the urge for knowing, I tune into Tony's show. When I get the urge for knowing what the weather will be like 5 months from now, Kevin S. is world renowned. I ride with Sheehan.
That is it for this week's episode of The Grelly. I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoy being back. I appreciate your patience as I try to get back into the jingle game and juggle a family and a much more than full-time job these days. It's been a challenge, but I am up for it and always take a lot of joy out of doing this, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. You can let me know your thoughts by emailing mailbag@littlesongs.net. I think the Chinese food at littlesongs.net still works too. Happy to get your emails there or your orders for takeout food. If you like this and you have not supported yet, I would really appreciate it if you go to patreon.com/littlesongs for as much as $1 a month. I sound like Sally Struthers now, but you can help keep all this going, and I really appreciate your support. For those of you in the Kickstarter, I also encourage you to please respond to your survey so I can wrap that up. Jeff has to design the back of the shirt. We need all your names to do that, so please get those surveys in now. If you have any feedback, please send it to me at Jerry Negrelli on Twitter about this show, other things you'd like to hear, if there are segments from the podcast that you miss, if there's things about this show that you love or that you hate, want to know about it. If you'd like to leave a review on iTunes, you can do that too. Tell your friends, tell the littles, do whatever. I don't know. I just am grateful to be doing this again and that this is all still going, and that even though I apparently am no longer featured on Tony's show, I, you know, maybe we'll make a return one day. And if nothing else, you can enjoy my stuff here on this very Jerry-centric show with all the thoughts in my head. So thank you for listening.
Hey, fellas, are you sick of getting your hair cut in a salon surrounded by women and stuff? Well, I'd like to introduce you to Horse Clips. If you've ever wanted to have your hair cut in a barn surrounded by hay and manure in a friendly horse-based environment, this is the place for you. That's right. Horse Clips was created by men for men and is the only farm-based hair cutting service in America. If you'd like to inquire about opening a Horse Clips franchise of your own, you have some serious personal finance issues, buddy. Horse Clips! Get your hair cut today in a barn.
Hey friends, it's your old friend Jack here from the illegal seafood restaurant. My friends often ask me, Jack, aren't you afraid of the police? I mean, you're serving baby seal. And I often say no. Frankly, I'm more afraid of the Coast Guard. Now, this holiday season, I wanted to remind you that we have specials at the illegal seafood restaurant, and we're running a promotion on gift cards. If you purchase a $50 gift card, we will handpick a dolphin just for you from SeaWorld. They're closing the entertainment division and selling all the animals. We will give you a named animal that you can apply your $50 gift card toward when you come in to dine. So please, this season, when you're thinking of your environmentally conscious friends who detest the way that these animals are being treated at SeaWorld, please think of the illegal seafood restaurant. I hope to see you very soon.
Illegal seafood.
Illegal. Are you sick of wearing the same old underwear? That is to say, your same old underwear? Well, friends, suffer no more. Now, thanks to ReUndies, you can wear someone else's old underwear. That's right. For a reasonable fee, someone else's nasty old underwear can be sent to your door as often as you'd like. And for an extra $5 per pair, they will even clean it. And they won't clean it using any of that fancy modern-day soap all the millennials are talking about. No, ReUndies will perform a quick, soapless rinse in the Potomac River. Now, I haven't actually tried this product myself. I mean, let's face it, it sounds really, really disgusting. But I have contributed a few old pairs to the cause. So if you like this podcast and want to help us out, enter promo code BARF at ReUndies.com today. Thanks, friends. And now back to the show.
Go to the main two questions, which is how much and when will it start?
Your house in the upper northwest. I'm just going to say 23 inches when the whole thing is said and done.
Hear that, people? That wasn't a range. That was a number for those not paying attention.
Can I get out of my... I don't give ranges.
Can I get out on my deck and grill?
23.6 inches.
23.6
inches. Can I grill? Will I be
able
to grill?
Get out the oven stick.